All right, just making sure you can hear me loud and clear.
Yeah, you sounded pretty good.
All right, there we go. So, welcome guys to our Elite Four episode. We're hoping it's a big one. Fingers crossed. Mr. Shrimp, say hello.
Hey guys, what's going on?
All our hard work and efforts have come to this glorious day that stands between us and the strongest trainers of the region. We have traveled across the land, searching far and wide.
Oh my God, I know exactly where this is going now.
What do you mean you know exactly where this is going? I have this nice thing written out, and you're like, I know exactly what this is. These are lyrics.
Yo, because because if people listen to this and they thought that I didn't know where this was going, let it be known, y'all. He didn't tell me that we were doing this. This is all improv for me.
This is all. Always, including this segment here.
Oh man! All right, yeah. You know, so keep going.
Sorry,
Keep rolling. My bad.
I had to shut a door. But yeah, we've collected the badges across the region, proved ourselves against the nefarious and admirable Team Plasma. We have saved the world, only to leave it open for people to follow their beliefs, their truths, their ideals. Now before us stands the Elite Four, but who are the Elite Four, and where do they fit into the story of the Unova region? Why did they, the gym leaders in the seven sages that stood in our way 2 years ago, 2 years in game? And now that Alder has stepped down, who is the champion of the Unova region? And are they truly a better champion? To answer these questions, we must first understand the region as a whole. Unova is based on New York City. And while it could be said that it's only based on that, you can also make the argument that it's based on the USA as a whole. Be honest, New York is as American as it gets. It is a gateway into America, or it was a few years back. And it stands area, blending people, truths, ideals into a single melting pot. With Unova being based on New York and the way the world generally views America, it stands to reason that the gym leaders each represent a different aspect in our society. So before we get into the Elite Four, I just want a quick tremendous journey starting at the very beginning. We're going to talk about what each of these gym leaders represent. Not only like to the region, but kind of to us as a whole. And we're
That's okay.
starting in Pokemon Black and White, straight in City, where we reached Cylan, Chili, and Cress. I get enough credit.
They certainly don't get any credit from me, that's for sure.
So let's talk about them real quick. I don't want to spend too long on the gym leaders, just a quick what you thought of them.
Okay. A lot of these so a lot of these gym leaders they actually were really cool. These first three, obviously they're like tutorial stuff, so they're not meant to be like earth shattering or anything. They're just supposed to get you to know the game, understand how like type matchups work, and you know, knowing what is good against what. So these guys were pretty cool in that sense, but for me they were pretty forgettable.
I
A
would
lot of
say
times
that they're very memorable, honestly.
for me the reason I remember them is because one of them has an elemental monkey that I haven't gotten after hours of grinding, and I'm mad at him. But that's really about it for me.
Wait, which of the monkeys is it?
It's fucking it's semi-seer. I still don't have him.
I will breed you one and send it to you. But
It's
honestly, the Straighten
cooling.
Brothers are me because they're the very first, because they stand as a family unit, despite the fact that you only face one of them. But I think they're important. And this kind of goes into their design. They're waiters. And what is a waiter? It's an entry-level job. And they're our entry level. They're our entry into the Unova region, into, like you said, type matchups. fundamentals. They're where you begin. They're weak, and that point, they represent entry-level jobs. And if you go into New York City and you're thinking, what am I going to do for my first job? It's probably your answer. In the Korean city where we face the normal type specialist Lenora, who represents things like the museums in New York. Okay, like, all respect to her. She's the one that's kind of the least memorable for me, specifically, not because of her gym was she was great. Her gym had a case, but yeah. She was replaced typing badge and all in the very next game. So, I mean, what did you think?
So, if you were to tell me, if you were to tell me that somebody took like a poll and she came up as like the least memorable, not memorable, but the least liked gym leader, you know what? I could agree with that. Because I don't think that was who she was supposed to be. I don't think she was supposed to be like this super like big like gym leader. I think she was supposed to be like a strong character for that game, and that was it. I really liked her, especially going into what's it called? Going into End's Castle, she was one of the people that stepped up for us, and I thought that was really cool. Honestly, I did like her gym puzzle. It was definitely the safest one. Nobody died during that one, right?
I mean, you weren't doing a Nuzlocke then, so you were safe no matter what.
No, I mean like trainers, like you weren't gonna get killed doing her dungeon.
You're gonna get killed during the first. How are the Straighten brothers gonna kill you?
I didn't say that they could. I'm just saying that, like, yo, man, there's a lot of dangerous gyms out there, and hers is one of the safest.
Okay, that's fair. Moving on, we get Apple itself, which is Castalia City. If you weren't aware that Unova is based on New York City, then this city should give you a clue. And we fought against Berg, and Berg's two gyms were an art form, to say the least. And that's what he represents, the visual arts, the artists in New York. And my boy comes time and time again to just inspire. That's all he does is inspire. Like, what God, more does Berg he is, need?
Berg is so cool, man. I don't care what anyone says. Berg is so awesome, dude.
You know how, talking about Marlon, I said that Marlon was probably the chillest gym leader ever.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back, retract that statement. Berg. Like, he's so chill. Even in the face of Team Plasma. Like, he's so suave. He's just like there. He's okay. We're gonna fight. Let's do this. But also, my battles are an art.
Yo, Berg didn't give a hoot, bro. He was just trying to do his job. So that was one of the things. And his gyms, bro, his gyms were the most creative gyms. Like,
I think,
like, well, I mean, like, literally with like the colors and stuff.
Yeah, but black and white too. Once you get to the top where you actually face him and you can run on the paint, that was so much fun.
That was super cool. I really liked a lot of Berg's gyms. I think so, especially with Berg's second gym. He really came into his own with like the whole cocoon metamorphosis thing. Because at first I thought that was super nasty, but you know what? He's like, nature is beautiful. Changing and becoming something different is amazing, and you should embrace it. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. You are.
Yeah, he turned your opinion around, and it in only a way that he can.
In only a way that Berg could.
That's a pity. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. I think Berg is really cool.
Moving on, in Mbasa City, Elisa. You guys know she's my favorite gym leader. I'll be honest, I prefer her in black and white than black and white too. I prefer her. I prefer the gym because of roller coasters. But, I mean, fashion industry. She's a model. You have the musicals there, and the whole point of a musical, just dress them up. Everyone hates that minigame, but I think it's a reflection. I think that's the whole point. Or else, why else are you going to have that there?
I If you're wondering why I'm not saying anything, I despise musicals as well. I'm part of that people, that group.
Well,
that
yes. Like, why else would you have it there?
Well, the thing is, if you want to get super literal and super meta, it's because Pokemon games all have to have a new gimmick every time. But the other reason is just that this region, especially being like New York, this is like fashion central. You know, this is like where people go. Of course, you have like Hollywood and like Las Vegas and other places where you can like put on a show or whatever, but you hear about huge events going on in New York for modeling, for new designer clothes. That's where you go for like pop-up shops and stuff, and especially like Broadway musicals, you know, like there's so much going on. And a lot of things in both of these games actually take that full force. They even got a stadium over here for like Uptown New York.
Oh yeah, the sports stadiums. I forgot that was in the city.
Yeah, actually, it's super sick. I'm really happy with that too. I also don't know where I'm going right now.
They have the train station. There's a lot in that city. Like, why is that not in Castelli? Why did they not just shove everything there?
Okay, I'm gonna go to Nacrine City because I haven't been there yet.
You haven't. Wait. That's. Oh. Okay. You're doing post game.
Yeah. Because I'm gonna set myself up for the next recording session.
Okay, I haven't fought post game yet. I've been avoiding everyone.
It's not fun, especially since I'm not using level 100 legendaries.
Listen here,
the lesson is I should just break those out. That's the lesson.
Yes. Break that. Can you get them with the action replay? You should be able.
Probably. Yeah, I don't see why not.
Actually, speaking of now that we're on the action replay tangent, were you able to get the events or no?
I still got some stuff I have to do.
He hasn't tried.
So I'm gonna keep trying, see if I can get the event to work on my DS. But I do have it installed on my folk. We got to talk about this afterwards, guys.
okay. Drift Vale City, Clay. He's blue collar, working class. Like he's okay. He's kind of weird for New York. Like he's got a whole southern
stuff, yeah.
Honesty, like down to the accent. He's not very New York at all. But like, he does represent like the blue collared workers and all that. I mean, I guess you can get the excuse, like I said before, that the region represents America as a whole, but it's more New York specific because when you think America right off the bat, New York is one of the first things you're gonna think of. And I like Clay; he is an easy kill no matter what I do. Mr. Ship, I know you got a love hate for Clay.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
The first time he just destroyed you.
for the uninitiated, I was definitely not on Clay's side for a very long time. Just because, if you guys remember from the first playthrough in Black 1, I had Tepig, Emperor at the time, and I had to solo that gym with him. Thank God ground types are typically really slow compared to fire types, and they don't resist fire type. But also I taught him Grass Knot to help out with like
stuff.
But it was just like, dang, it was so difficult to get anything.
Plus
done.
All the poiples in that gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the middle evolution? Palpitoad, half water, like that bubble beam is not your friend.
Bubble beam is not my friend, and I got so many goddamn confusions. But like, it was not a fun time.
Next, we go to Mistralton City to the most dangerous gym ever. Well, both of her gyms are, but it's Skyla. She represents trade and travel. If you remember Black and White, she's got cannons everywhere. She launches you into metal walls. It's terrifying. And then Mr. Shrimp cover. I think you think. Well, I know. I think the her first gym's more dangerous. For some reason, I have this like feeling that you think that her second gym's the most dangerous.
Her second gym is pretty bad. I don't know if it's more dangerous. I think they're on the same tier. I do think they're both pretty bad though.
Yeah, but she travel and trade. Like she literally flies you halfway across the region. Like there you go, travel. It was really cool. Next we get Bryson, maybe this badass fighter, with this ninja-esque vibe. But he shows his true colors when he steps down from being a gym leader and he goes into acting in Black 2 and White 2, and that's the field that he represents. What, like Clay, business, freaking Lenora into history and all that. And our boy is an actor, and a natural born actor at that. He and Sabrina from the come down for the PokéStars Studios, which I haven't done in a long time. But so that's his role. He goes in and he acts alongside you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest. His gym was a lot of fun, but I had a Chandelure at that time.
Yeah.
It was I had a lot of easy sweeps, his included. Opelousas City gives us two characters that give different sides. We have Iris in white version, and she represents this wide, well, yeah, and Drayden in black, yeah. But Iris represents this wide-eyed wonder that you have. Like, imagine coming to America from country. You step into New York, this big city with huge lights, and all you think, what's the first thing you're going to think about after hearing about the wonders that we supposedly have? Like, it's that wide hope for opportunity. And in white version, in white two, the city's kind of old. There's plants growing out of the cracks of the sidewalk and such. Almost ruins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Drayden, who's like, he's political, he's old. Cities are blue and shining, and how are they this technologically advanced?
Yo, I might, people might think I'm lame for this, but God, I would love the aesthetics to be switched, because I don't like the future aesthetic. I think it clashes a lot with the rest of the Unova region.
No, especially if you go straight. Like, they don't modify the gym at all.
Yo, so in Black 1, what they did was, they had like construction areas around the gym to make it be like, oh yeah, they're updating the gym right now. And instead of updating the gym, what they did was they built two giant ass dragon statues on there, and they didn't update around the gym at all. There's still like dirt patches around it. So it's like,
no, and
it's,
tell me,
super out of place.
In Black 2, what is the gym updated?
So the gym itself is not updated. What they did was they just put two big ass dragon statues in there and made those the updates. It's like Drayden came out there and he's like, what do you think you're doing with all this technology and all this mess? And then they're like, we're making it look like the rest of the city. And he's like, no, fuck that. I want dragon statues. That's
but
it.
Yeah,
you
and
you want to.
You're describing him perfectly. In a futuristic city, Drayden is this older guy holding on to his traditions. He's the mayor of the freaking town. So he represents politics, and I'm trying to rush through the gym leaders because we have three left, and we get on to the big, fun, scary Elite Four. Moving on to Asperdia City. I've never actually said that one out loud. Asperdia. There we go. We have Charon, who took over for Lenora. He's in the Pokemon school, so he represents academics, and we all know that Charon's a huge ass nerd, but you know, we love him because he's our best friend. Well, he was best friend in the first game. In this game, we have no best friend. He's obviously gonna hold a special place in our heart. Friend in the sense that he's like, I guess he's like that rougher best friend stereotype where he's like the one that you would look up to even though you're the protagonist. But he's still more of a rival than a friend. Whereas Charon and Bianca were great friends. And Charon also holds a special place in our heart because let's not forget that he and Mr. Shrimp are the
Wow.
OTP. Yeah, I remember that. I
Wow.
remembered it just now. No,
Dang, I was hoping that it would die.
it's not gonna die. Verbank
Anytime
City, we
soon.
have a rock. He is sick. If you excuse the pun, she's an
No, I will
angsty.
not. Now you die.
She's this angsty emo kid teen. With her little band in the basement of this tiny building, who flips out at her dad for wanting to pursue a career in life.
Yeah, I don't blame her though.
I mean, it worked out, story goes, but still.
Well, the thing is that he so I look back at that, right? And so the thing is that what he wanted to do, like I don't think she really wanted to stop him from being an actor. But the thing is that he wanted to be an actor and also the main captain of the only harbor in that town, right? He wasn't gonna give he wanted to do both of those things, not one or the other. So it was
True.
causing mad inconveniences for people because they just need to get where they're going. But he's being stubborn and he's talking about minimum wages. Like he like
Yeah.
no, man, you gotta do your thing. Like you have a
And
you got things to do.
going into what she represents, I mean, yeah, she represents like the goth emo dweebs in New York in the streets that's where they hang out. But she also represents music, the musical side of New York, because she's the only musician
Oh yeah.
leader. And we get to Humalau City, where we have Marlon. He represents the athletic side of New York. He's a swimmer who swims a lot faster than we can walk or surf. He got to a pirate ship before we did,
By
by
swimming,
himself, by swimming.
like an absolute mad lad.
Yes. And I mean, we talk a lot about how we feel about him in our more recent video or
Oh yeah,
recordings.
definitely.
All of them, that covers all the gym leaders. Nova, they all eventually fell to the immense power of Mr. Shrimp and myself. And now we face the Elite Four of the region. So who are they? How do they fit into the grand scheme of things? Do they fit into the whole, this character represents this aspect of New York slash America? I mean, so we know Unova is the first region to give us the option of battling the Elite Four in any order we choose. And that sticks until like Gen 7. Because I don't think Gen 8 does it that way. I don't think they have an official. But for
Who's
simplicity,
to say?
oh wait, go ahead.
I'm just saying I actually wouldn't be able to tell you.
Me neither. My Pokedex app that I've been using a lot recently updated, so I can see the gym leaders' teams. And just recently, I think this week, got an update for Elite Four and Champion, and for the Elite Four in. Weird tournament thing where I think some of the rivals jump in, some of the gym leaders jump in. I don't know how it works. No idea. But for Unova, we're gonna go in the following order. We have Chantal, Grimsley, Caitlin, and Marshall. So not only are we gonna go over their how we did against them, but we're also gonna look over their designs, the evolutions of their teams, and then we'll look at the champions and compare the two champions to see who reigns supreme in. And we're going to start with Chantal. I'm going to talk briefly about her, then we'll talk about how we did against her, and then I'm going to tell us the evolution of their teams, because doing all this research much. It's just terrible. Chantal is the character we know the least about of Unova's Elite Four. Not only is she the region's ghost type expert, she is also a ghost writer because we love puns. Many of her quotes when she's talking to the character reference a number of other characters that we've already met, not only in this game, but in several others. And some of her work seems like fan fiction, possibly based off of the work of a writer from the past. So last time we faced her, it was in Black and White. She only had 4 Pokemon. She still retains that only 4 Pokemon rule in this initial battle. Mr. Do. And actually, before, how did you do? What was your team going into the Elite Four?
So my team going into Elite Four was Tulip, my Amoongus, Sheldon, my Starmie, Merman, my, man, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name, Samurott. Afrojack, my Magmar, which was a bad choice, and I'll tell you guys later. Ricky, my Crocodile, and Jace, my Crobat, which was also a bad choice. We'll go into it later. But going into Chantal, I had Crocodile, so it was pretty free. The thing is that I actually had to do 2 runs of this because the Pokemon champion actually took me out because of 2 lucky crits. Yeah, those 2 lucky crits actually just messed up my whole team. So the first run, Ricky had Foul Play, and that was a terrible choice because the power on that, it says 95 when you check the move, but it's dependent on your target's attack stat. And most of the things that you're using dark type moves on have special attack. They don't have regular attack. So I went back out when I lost to the champion, and I taught him Crunch so that he could like do crazy amounts of damage, and he did because he has the Crunch. I give him a Dark Gem because I didn't know where my Black Glasses went, and he was just chomping up the entire competition. It was really, really good.
The thing for me with Chantal is, or ghost types in general, I can never remember what types are good against it. I know that normal and it are immune to each other. I know that ghost is super effective against psychic.
Yep.
But I can never remember what's good against ghost. So I just spam Shadow Ball. For those of you who don't know, I had the best team ever. My team was comprised of Shiny Palkia, Shiny Dialga, Shiny Giratina, Kyurem, Reshiram, and Zekrom. 4 of which were level 100 and Reshiram, because they were all event Pokemon that I had traded over either from white version or had gotten as an event Pokemon in white 2. Kyurem was level 75 and 65, which honestly, they're all legendary dragons. It's overpowered. I stuck with my ghost dragon because I don't know how to fight ghosts. But how did you feel about reference.
Oh, so go ahead. Future reference, ghost types are weak to themselves and dark type, and that's it.
Okay.
They also resist poison type, and fighting types can't hit them, but ghosts can hit fighting types.
Okay.
Which, so, can I ask?
How did you feel with Chantal in Black version the very first time, and compare that to this time?
The very first time I saw Chantal, I thought she was really interesting because she's writing about the thing with her is that she's writing about current events, right? And she's trying to make like a novel or a story out of what's going on currently, because who wouldn't, right? It just makes sense. So for her, the first time we saw her, she was talking about what truth and ideals actually mean and trying to write that in like the perspective of our character. She wouldn't say that, but it was really cool. And her gym, not her gym, but like her room gimmick, where you hopped on that. No, you're good. You're good. So you hopped on like a table or something, and you like rode it spinning all the way up to her room. Was pretty cool. I actually really liked that. The second time, there's just like stairs that pop up and lead you up to her room, and you walk up there. and it's like wall-to-wall stacks of books, and when you walk through, the books collapse in on you, so you can't escape. It's just you and her. And that's how you're locked in. And so the only way to get out is to beat her and go through the teleporter. And
honestly, I love this room, especially the second time around, because if you know in the background, as soon as you walk in, it and everything else kind of gets scared. They're like, okay, play dead.
Yeah. There's a lot of personality this time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, that's okay. All right. Her initial team in Pokemon Black and White are comprised of Cofagrigus, a female Jellicent, a Golurk, and a Chandelure, which obviously is not better than my Chandelure, which shout out to my roommate in the fall who got a shiny Chandelure. I'm going to be honest, finding a random shiny like that is amazing, but Chandelure, I prefer its original colors because that's what I'm used to. But seeing its shiny form, still jelly. Now, each of the Elite Four, I'm gonna go over their initial team in Black and White, their initial team in Black 2 and White 2, then their rematch teams in the same order. However, Black 2 and White 2 have this challenge mode. Once you unlock it from getting a key from Blackbird or Black 2, and either having that from beating the game or switching it over to White 2. So there's a lot of teams to cover. That in mind. In Pokemon Black 2, her initial team is Cofagrigus, but due to Marlin's ace being a male Jellicent, Chantal replaces her female Jellicent with a Drifblim. Which honestly, I feel like they could have replaced it. They should have switched his ace. She already had her team set. Everyone else pretty much keeps their team. Why should she change hers? Because she has a female Jellicent. Because it's a woman. Like why? No, Paul was here first. But they do replace it with a Drifblim, which kind of ties into the whole fact that Unova now has more Pokemon from other regions. Her challenge mode, quote unquote, first battle, gives her a Banette, making her have 5 Pokemon.
Yeah, that's going to be a running theme for the rest of these challenge mode things.
Yeah, but I haven't done the challenge mode, but have you?
I haven't yet. I've been trying to get through post game, try to grind up my Pokemon a little bit more before I do that. Because they even though Ricky was good with versus Chantel right then, I think I'm going to need him to have a little more power if he's going to try to do any more than what he's doing right now.
So, Mr. Shrimp, these are going to be spoilers for their teams. Her rematch in Black and White keeps Cofagrigus, her female, her Drifblim, her Golurk, her Frostlass, which is an amazing Pokemon to have.
Frostlass is pretty damn good.
She loses a lot of those Pokemon due to her rematch challenge team. She loses Jellicent altogether, and I what else she loses. But she gains a Miss Magius and a Gengar. And a Gengar, you know, everyone loves it because it's from the original gen, and it keeps getting all this love.
It's also and really it fast is, and it's Prankster.
That's great. I don't know if hers has Prankster. I'm going to have to double check. But she still gains that onto her team. And that's the evolution of her team. She has a whole bunch of special attacking ghosts. And she writes her fan fiction in her room all day. That's it. That's all we know about her. We're moving on to Grimsley next. And he's a bit of an interesting... He's a
don't
dark...
Don't quit me!
This is a dark type special.
Not! I just died.
Well, now that you're dead, you can listen to my story.
All right, that's fine.
Listen, you're not doing a Nuzlocke anymore. You don't have to worry about death.
Yeah, but now he's not getting any XP, and that's even worse.
True. Grimsley is a distinguished family that fell to ruin and lost their fortune. between depression and desperation to regain that money, he turned to gambling and it's become an addiction. It's very
Are we talking about the same guy? What is going on here?
Grimsley. Yeah, we're talking.
When did he say that?
I mean, okay, so the Bulbapedia gives all the information condensed, and better explained, but it's a lot of between what he said and those quotes where you're mashing the B button so he shuts up and so you can finally defeat him and move on to the next room.
That's fair.
We do see him in later generations where he's wearing all white, in I don't know if Ultra Sun, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon for sure. About Sun and Moon, but he does reappear in Gen 7 wearing all white. He's no longer addicted, he's recovered. So all those who are like, oh, he's addicted, how sad, you should get over that, he does. I feel like it takes away from his character. He's a dark, one of the darkest stories that Pokemon has to offer. I'm not counting all the dark theories out there. There is no theory here. That's just it. So, in black, white, black suit, and black, white, black suit, and white suit, his starting teams are the same: Scrafty, Liepard, Crocodile, and Bisharp. His challenge teams in black suit and white suit give him an Absol, which is super fitting because it appears only in disasters. Losing your family money, huge disaster. Addiction, huge disaster. Warning you about earthquakes or the end of the world? No, Absol's there for your personal trauma too. In
That
black
sounds
and white,
acceptable.
it's really nice. And it all white, just like him. But in black and white, his rematch team instead of gains a Sharpedo and a Drapion. That Sharpedo is what he surfs on instead of a Mantine in Gen 7 games. It's not fair. I can't surf on Sharpedo. I can ride it, but I can't surf on it. I'm not salty. You're salty, Mr. Shrimp.
I'm a little salty, I'm not gonna lie.
Two and White Two rematch team drops Absol altogether, but he does gain a Honchkrow and a Houndoom. What's more, in his challenge mode rematch team, he loses his Liepard. Thank God, because Sucker Punch is a bitch, and he gains the Johto pseudo legendary Tyranitar.
Wow, good for him.
Notice that Chantal doesn't have a pseudo legendary because until Gen 8, there is no ghost type pseudo legendary. Everyone else is going to gain one pretty much. Caitlyn comes next, and not only is she Unova's psychic type elite four member, she also appeared as a head of the battle castle of the battle frontier in Pokemon Platinum, Heart Gold, and Silver. This is the part
God,
of the
she was
game
the most annoying one.
that I can't forget. Oh wait, we didn't talk about how you did against Grimsley. Okay, so real quick, how I dealt with him is that my Sinnoh trio of shiny level 100 hack gods all had Aura Sphere.
That's about
But
it.
how did you deal with, okay, so notice that I'm using level 100 and shit. What I say, how I dealt with the Elite Four, does not matter. It's not. But the true hero, Mr. Shrimp, he struggled, and he's going to tell us about his many struggles right now.
You are correct. I will do that right now. So the thing about Grimsley is that I didn't have anything that really hurt him. So a lot of it was really just Ricky coming in clutch again. Because nothing could have stopped his dig, and Bisharp especially got messed up by Ricky and Merman, because Merman, he didn't use any dark type moves. He just kept using whatever, I don't know what steel type move he has, but he was using whatever steel type move he was using. So Merman just resisted it, and then Ricky just resisted it and then hit him with Earthquake because he learned it during that fight.
Right.
So it was just, man, I felt so bad. It was so free.
Here's one thing that I'm wondering about your team choices in this particular instance. So, well, I adore, I will fight anyone who says otherwise. And Starmie is very good, but they're both water types. Why did you have two water types on your team?
Because I was thinking about the champion, right? Because the champion inevitably is going to have a dragon type. And I wanted to make sure I had Ice Beam and Blizzard for both of those. Because
Oh,
I knew I wanted to make sure something stupid didn't happen. And something stupid happened. And once again, we'll get into that later.
yeah.
But I wanted to be like, you know what? Something absolutely dumb is gonna happen to one of the two of you. So I wanna make sure the other one is okay in order to take this guy down.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Plus, Starmie just has so much coverage. He has psychic type, water type, ice type, electric type. I could have put grass on him if I really wanted to. Like there's so many things he could have learned.
Speaking of psychic, did you know that, and I discovered this in a post-game battle, Slowking can learn.
That's hilarious and tragic.
That's terrifying. When you're
That's
trying to slap it
hilarious.
down with a grass type. But speaking
Oh
of
my
psychic,
God.
bouncing back to Caitlyn, you couldn't battle her in any of the Gen 4 games is for a very good reason. She starts off as age 14 and does not have full control of her psychic abilities. Now in the Unova, full control, and she's one of the strongest Pokemon trainers, obviously being the Elite Four. But she started off as an immigrant who has made the dream come true. Chantal, writers, and Grimsley may have represented the addicts, but this is the American dream in its purest form. She made it to the top
Grimsley.
by herself. And you know the part that I hate about Caitlyn the most? Her age. Going back to Bulbapedia real quick. For Platinum, Heart, Gold, and Soul Silver, her age is 14, decidedly. For Pokemon Black and White, she is listed between the ages of 17 and 27.
That's good. It's better than her being a child.
Yes, but it doesn't tell us, it doesn't give us a timeline. Like, how old is she? We don't know. And then we go to Black 2 and White 2 between the ages of 19 and 29. How old is she?
I listen, you're asking the wrong
Going to her teams, in Black, White, Black 2, and White 2, her initial teams are Musharna, Reuniclus, Sigilis, and Gothitelle. Basically, the freaking fully evolved psychic you can get in the games. Her challenge mode initial battle gives pseudo legendary Metagross, and oh my god, Metagross is great. Mr.
Yeah,
Shrimp.
so yeah.
Oh, I thought you died.
No, I'm fine.
She gains Metagross. Freaking amazing.
A wonderful Pokemon. Yo, do not ever sleep on that Pokemon. I'm sure people who listen to the podcast will not and should not, but man, it's crazy what that Pokemon can do.
Yo, I am ex I have a sh I have two shiny because of the events. I went and I caught one in the Giant Chasm as soon as I could at the end of freaking Black and White in the post game. And I run one in Pokemon Go. It's my strongest Pokemon. Like, it is a monster. But her improvement doesn't stop with getting legendary. In her rematch team in Black and White, she gains Bronzor. Our Bronzong, which great as Metagross, but it has the same typing, so it has the same coverage as far as its defenses go. That thing is a special defense wall. And then her rematch team comes in. Bronzong are replaced by Gallade and Alakazam. That is a nightmare. Alakazam, Gallade, Metagross. Imagine a triple battle with that. No.
No, I don't. Triple Dollars have been messing me up this entire game.
No. Then we're moving on to debatably the weakest of the Elite Four, according to a lot of people online. But we move on to Marshall, and Marshall we know the most about. He's the apprentice of Unova's first revealed champion, Alder. He's a fighting type specialist. It seems based on his design that he's a street fighter, which gives me a different side of the American dream than Caitlyn. He doesn't come from a different region. He started in Unova, and considering he's from the streets, it could have been that he grew up on a darker, in the dark, unforgiving streets of Castalia City.
Before all, it means he was born to scrap. He's out legit, here fighting in these streets.
It's a very Creed type story, or at least that's what I'm guessing. This is based on his design, and it kind of fits the whole thing. Alder, the champion, sees this young kid from the street, sees his true potential, brings him all the way up to the top. In black, white, black 2, and white 2, his initial teams are Throw, Sock, Mian Shao, and Kong Kelder. His initial challenge mode gives him a powerful Lucario. I run one, and I can tell you it's amazing, even without Mega Evolution. Mr. Shrimp did not find the chance, but he totally should go back and find one. Do it, Mr. Shrimp.
Maybe.
His black and white rematch team takes away Breloom and Toxicroak.
I disagree with that, but okay.
I mean, he does. Whatever. In black and white, he doesn't get Lucario until black 2 and white 2, to be fair. Mm-hmm. And in Black 2 and White 2, he keeps his Lucario in his rematch team, and he also gains a Medichan, which I think he should have kept, but his challenge team replaces Medichan with the fan-favorite Marchamp. I mean, I get it, but, like, psychic coverage. Your team needs coverage!
Yeah, it definitely
against needs psychic coverage. Pokemon. Absolutely. So during the attack of Team Plasma in black and white, like, these four trainers alone could have handled the seven stages and probably wiped out all of Team Plasma without you or the gym leaders needing to step in. But they didn't. So where were they? And this is when I let Mr. Shrimp present his theories before I present what I...
So where were the gym leaders? Honestly,
where were the Elite Four? Like, when the gym leaders come and save you, where were the Elite Four?
So back then, remember that the castle literally just attacked the entire Elite Four summit? They could have been incapacitated, they could have been trying to evacuate, because there were still civilians there, you know, people who were just running the Pokemon Center, like random people who are just explaining, like, the rules and how it works and stuff. They could have been evacuating people because they didn't, for all they know, that entire castle could have wiped out all of the Victory Road. They don't know how much was there. So my guess is just that they were trying to just get people to safety. And then when the gym leader showed up, it's like, okay, I know we're the strongest Pokemon trainers here, but there's 8 of you and you can probably do something. So go ahead.
So the thing is, I don't. Not only were they defeated by N because N had to defeat them in order to get Alder, but they also had to heal and prepare for you. Yes, they could have done a lot in, like, helping fight the Seven Sages in Team Plasma or help save people from the calamity that has just occurred. But they had to stand and test the player to make sure they were truly worthy of holding the title of Unova's hero. So they probably didn't leave their post at Alder's request. Quick tangent, if you didn't know where the Straighten Brothers at this moment, because, like, all of the other gym leaders, including both Iris and Drayden, appeared to save your life, and the Straighten Brothers didn't. Here are three, did I write down three? Three reasons why they didn't show up. Number one, in a flashback set by the Memory Link in Black and White 2, they were talking to each other, and they felt that they weren't strong enough without each other's help. Like, the brothers alone wouldn't match up with Lenora or with Elisa.
Checks out.
And they were always seen as one person. So they're like, well, why would we help when we're not strong enough? Two, Bianca didn't have enough time to reach them. Bianca was the one who got all the gym leaders for you. She was flying from one to another to get as much help as possible. Sharon was probably getting stronger or going to get some type of help because he did help Alder Arrest get this at the end. I don't know what Sharon was doing. He could have, if he and Bianca teamed up, they could have gotten all the gym leaders. They were attacked and held up by the Shadow Triad. There is a theory, or was a theory until this flashback, that the Straighten Brothers were the Shadow Triad and thus members of Team Plasma. But this flashback in the memory link reveals that not only were they attacked by the Shadow Triad, the Shadow Triad just obliterated their teams. So they decided to train, to drop out as gym leaders, and to become a whole lot better so that when they were ready to pick up that title, they can deem themselves worthy. And we're going to split this into a second part before Anchor decide to cut us off mid-sentence.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. We're back.
There we go. So going back to Plasma wore their Crusade Knight uniforms. That explains not only where the Straighten Brothers were, but why the Elite Four didn't help us. But here's a shrimp. Why weren't the Elite Four helping us when they switched from Crusade Knights to Pirates? When Team Plasma had this big idea and shot up a city?
Honestly, 2 years ago, some random kid from the boonies came and took down Team Plasma single-handedly. So I'm pretty sure they'd just be like, they got it again.
Okay, that's actually very close to what I had thought of.
I mean, it's true.
It is. So originally in Black 2 and White 2, we see that it's believed that Team Plasma's disbanded for good. Like, it's not about them until, you know, aside from your rival, like, you haven't heard from them. People thought they disbanded. And even during the attack on Opelousas City, when they're well known, I feel like someone was coming. Like, they still respected Alder's original order to wait for a trainer who was worthy enough to stop Team Plasma. Speaking of Alder, he was the first champion that we battled in Black. He's the first and only champion to be battled for the first time in post-game, meaning you don't become the champion of Unova until post-game, not during the main story. Unlike literally every Pokemon game where it's like, oh, you be the champion? Okay, now we roll the credits. No, we didn't get that. Yeah. We had to face an entire post-game. And for good reason, his Pokemon were terrifying.
They were pretty ridiculous, but I'm not gonna lie.
But he's got a lot of depth, not only for being like an ally to the protagonist, but he's got a complicated past. Before Black and White, or the events in Black and White, he lost his starter Pokemon because it was sick and it died.
No, I did not know that.
No, so he's a character that he wanders around a lot in the games, and in his despair of not being able to save his starter, he lost his purpose, which is why he wanders around.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Volcarona, so like he gets a replacement, but it's not the same. To us, we can catch another because it fainted or for some reason, but for him, it died.
Big Sam, Jesus.
Yeah, so that's why he wanders around. And when we face off against the preschoolers, he set up that battle. Like, that's one of the things he kind of hints at. So his champion team are Acelera, Buffalant, Drugadin, Vanillix, and Scavalier, and Volcarona. We can fight him in the post game, which I'm terrified of doing. But he replaces Dredigan and Vanillix with Conkeldurr and Braviary. But yeah, he's not the champion of Black and White 2. It's time for a... So as I give the drum roll, will you please tell us who the champion is?
So the champion this time is none other than Iris. You guys remember Iris from way, way early back in Opelousas City in the first game? She was actually the champion this time. We saw her one. We actually saw her twice, but we saw her right at the beginning of Opelousas City, and she was saying that she sees some potential in you, but she's not going to be the one that's going to be challenging you. It's only going to be her grandpa. And that was the hint, that was the tip off that she wasn't going to do it, because if she's coming up and telling us that she's not going to be training us at all, and she's not going to be testing
for the gym battle
potential, then you know there is some serious hoopla going on over there.
Oh yeah, so I want to talk a bit about this, like Iris being a dragon type specialist versus while there's a dragon type gym leader is very Pokemon Emerald esque. Because that's what they did. They had Juan replace Wallace. Juan was a water type gym leader, and then Wallace, the champion, was a water type. So it's very Hoenn-esque, but it's still really cool to see. She gets a change of clothes, and I'm gonna tell you guys her team, and then we will discuss the very lucky or unlucky situation himself in. Her initial team is Hydreigon, again, Archeops, Aggron, Lapras, and Haxorus. For dragon type specialist, only half her team is dragon. But her challenge team does replace her dragon type Drugadon with a pseudo legendary Salamence. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited for that. That being said, Mr. Shrimp, enlighten us. Tell us your story.
What the fuck? Oh my god, I'm alive.
Okay. No,
it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm alive. I don't think I'm faster. And I missed, so it doesn't even matter. All right. Anyway.
Just legendaries. Stop fighting trainers.
Nah. Anyway. So the thing is that fight actually messed me up. The main reason being was that, yo, man, Iris's dragon types is like she has a bunch of different kinds of Pokemon, but they all have probably perfect coverage. Like, I don't think any one of them could have had anything, any better moves on them. So she starts off with Hydreigon, and that thing's just a beast. It's a pseudo legendary, it's like level 60 something, and it is a goddamn monster. Of a fight, because it's like it's Dragon Pulse is ridiculous. It has Flamethrower. It has Crunch. It has like another move. I don't think you can get any more coverage on that. So it's like, regardless of what type you are, unless you're it has Flamethrower actually. So even with Steel type, you're still eating something. But it's like unless regardless you're... of what type you are, which we don't have that doesn't exist yet. like you have to play really smart in order to not get bodied by that thing. After that, the thing that really killed my first run was her Lapras, right? Because it has Ice Beam, Thunder, Surf, and Sing, right? And the thing is that Sing has 55% accuracy, and that thing didn't miss me once. It didn't miss a single time, right? Neither did any of her Thunders.
Are you honestly surprised? It's like, how do you escape sound?
Yes, I am.
If I serenade you, how are you going to avoid my liquid gold voice?
If you serenade me, you have a 55% chance of you have a 45% chance of singing like an idiot, and I don't fall asleep from it. And so the same thing with her thunder, because it's not Cameron, it's thunder.
Escúchame, mírame los ojos, mírame.
You literally look at me, instead of singing that, you'll be like, suavemente. And I'm like, shut up. And I don't fall for it. Suavemente. That's one of my favorite songs, if you guys know. But no, so the thing is that none of her moves ever missed me. And that was ridiculous, right? So she would, like, her Lapras is just super tanky. And she got two crits. So she got a crit thunder on Merman. So he got knocked the hell out. Like, he wasn't coming back. Then I pulled out Tulip, my Amoongus, if y'all remember. I didn't know she had Ice Beam. She hit Tulip with that. She was gone. Sheldon came out, and I'm like, I need you to hit this. And it turns out that Lapras is apparently faster than Starmie. I didn't even know that was possible. She must have, like, Jolly or something on that Lapras. But, like, she outsped Sheldon and killed him with Ice Beam. And that was when I got salty. I was like, are you serious? How did he die? It was a crit.
Starmie has...
That, too. It's just, like, that killed it, because none of my other Pokemon could deal with her. Like, Ricky could Nettlefly the Thunder, but he's weak to Ice Beam and Surf, right? So that ain't gonna happen. Magmar, weak to Surf, and then what's it called? Jace, my Crobat. Even if I were to do Fly, she can use Thunder and hit him out of the sky. So it didn't matter. Yeah. I don't know if you know...
Go ahead.
I don't know if you knew that. If they use Fly or Bounce or Sky Attack, and you use an Electric-type move like Thunderbolt or Thunder, you still hit them in the sky and you actually knock them down.
It's just like if you use Dig and then they use Earthquake, unless you have Levitate, you're dead. And I think it's hilarious.
Yo, it does double damage. Did you know that?
It does. Because you're underground and it makes sense. But explain this. Like, Flygon, with the ability to levitate, uses Dig. You use Earthquake, you don't hit it. It's underground, but it's still levitating. I don't get it.
What?
Yeah. Because its ability to levitate your Earthquake, even though it's underground. Mm. It's insane. But going back into Iris, how did you manage to defeat her, you know, without the end of the world hanging over your shoulders?
So I had to change my strategy a lot.
You had to change your team.
Honestly, I didn't change my team at all. So the thing is that my strategy was that I needed electric type coverage on, so I could take down the Lapras or get some kind of grass type coverage so that I'd actually be able to hit the damn thing super effectively and get it out of here, right? So I used up all of my rare candies. I leveled up Starmie, I leveled up Crobat, and I leveled up who's the last one? Well, I leveled up one more person on my team, and essentially what I did was I put berries on all of all the ones that mattered, right? So I put Lum berries down so that they wouldn't fall asleep from Sing, and that they would be able to take down Lapras. That I gave that to Sheldon so that he would be able to take her out. I gave Samurott. I gave Merman. I took off the amulet coin because I was trying to farm some money, but I was like, nah, actually, it's serious right now. I have to actually try really, really hard. And the thing is that water gems increase the damage more than Mystic Water does. So I gave him a water gem so that he could use Surf that one time with his crazy special attack and take down whatever he was about to hit. The other dragon types that she had on her team, because her ace is a Haxorus, right? So I didn't need to hit it with a dragon type or an ice type move. I just needed to hit it with something that it wasn't going to resist. I gave Ricky, who was my highest level Pokemon at that time, another Dark Gem. And I just had him use Crunch to get the special defense drop, and then just keep doing Rock Tomb so that every time she did Dragon Dance, I negated, like, the speed buff from it. Like, it was still scary, but, I with the new berries so that they didn't fall asleep, the speed drops that I got from Ricky, and Merman definitely coming in clutch and pulling his weight with the water gem boosted surf, we actually made it out just fine.
Yeah, all of these in preparation sound like things that I would have done. I mean, minus like held items, but you saw a lot of that from me at the beginning, figuring out how to do the challenges and such. And like, well, not the challenges, the gym challenges in the first game. And at this point, I'm just like, fuck it. Legends. You're turning the tables, pulling out all, leaving nothing to chance. To see how we start off at the beginning and where we ended off here. But who do you think makes a better champion? Is it Alder or is it Iris? And why do you think that?
I think Iris has had the come up of the century, man. Like, think about it, right? So she came from nothing. Like, we don't even know who her parents are. We don't know what she's been doing, where she is, any of that, right?
And she was in a dragons when Drayden found her. Mm-hmm. The memory tells us that. We know where she came from.
Okay, well, I didn't. Okay, right. So she comes from like this background of like pure strength, right? And she was able to craft that into something like to becoming the strongest person in the Unova region, dude. Being able to beat the Elite Four and stay on top like that, and being able to beat her grandfather, like, that's crazy. I'm really happy with her. And the thing is that Alder, like, you're not going to win every battle, right? That's just not feasible. But the thing is that Alder really, really messed up when it counted, you know? We needed him to not lose so that the entire region didn't go down with him.
But if you didn't, if he never get your legendary Pokemon in Black and White.
Well, that's not the point. The point is that if he lost, the Unova region was in complete peril. Everybody was going to give up their Pokemon. Like, true. And he fumbled the bag, so we had to come in.
I mean, we were all, and he was just a plan B. But I agree with you that Iris is a better champion. My reasons are a little different. You say, yeah, he's a champion. He shouldn't have to rely on a person that is hoping to beat him.
He shouldn't rely on random trainer number 3 coming from the boonies, bro.
Yeah. So the reason why I think Iris makes the better champion isn't because of her party. Because at the end of the day, she's a Dragon-type specialist with a variety of Pokemon that aren't Dragon-types that still fit the bill. He's a trainer that uses quote unquote a variety of Pokemon. We all know he's a bug specialist. Half of his team are bugs, so he qualifies. I mean, if Lance qualifies as a dragon master, then this guy should be a bug master. But the reason Iris is a reason why I feel that Iris is a better champion. It doesn't have to do with how they battle you at all. They're still very difficult trainers. It all comes down to their emotional intelligence. Are they emotionally capable of the burden of being the champion? When I talked about what the gym leaders represent, Iris was opportunity. She was this wide-eyed child. Sky is the limit for her. And this guy is stuck in his midlife crisis because died 20, 30, 40. I get that the death of his Pokemon, no matter how close they are, it's traumatizing. It's terrible. And carry that burden with him. And it's one of the reasons why I like his character so much, because, you know, that's something that he acknowledges. But it shouldn't be his defining factor. In a lot of ways, it is. It's that emotional barrier that didn't let him be N. Because what is N? What are we? What is Iris? We are children with a purpose. And that's the one thing he's lost, because he doesn't have the emotional strength or intelligence to bear a purpose. He wanders around.
Yeah.
Said,
yep.
We have reached post-game, and I kind of want to do this in like 3 episodes. We have to cover the places that we haven't unlocked yet. We have to cover the legendaries, and we must capture them all. And then we got to go over Black 2 as a whole. And then we'll probably have a 4th episode covering what happened between Black and White, and Black 2 and White 2 and that 2-year gap. And we'll probably have another episode kind of wrapping everything up as a whole. So we'll have like 5 episodes left, I think.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, God. Mr. Man, Schiff, actually, we only have...
We're actually wrapping this up pretty nicely, I gotta say.
Oh, we are, but it's like 5 episodes.
Yeah. This is kind of exciting, actually, because this is going to be our first really big project that we finished.
Don't want it to finish. One, I love Gen 5. 2, this is our first big project on Team We Tried. It doesn't involve everyone in Team We Tried, but it's a big project.
Mm-hmm.
We have up-and-comers, which are all working. Speaking of up-and-comers, shout out to Mr. Shrimp. Did you record your lines?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't we're going to talk about it after this episode, because I'm just not sure how UV wants me to upload.
Oh, wow.
I'm not
name
sure
call.
What you did. I just cut that out. But the thing is that I don't know how she wants me to do that. I'll ask her about that. Yeah, I'll ask her about
that. Said, next week we are covering the post game, and you're playing a bit through it now. I'm playing a bit through it now. I haven't gotten very far, to be honest, because I'm just capture legendaries. And before we sign off, I'm going to list off the legendaries that we can get so that Mr. Shrimp and I have goals. Legendaries aren't in the next episode. We're not going to cover legendaries at all, but this will give us time to read 2 or 3 weeks that we record.
Mm-hmm.
Capture all of them.
Bro, and I'm gonna what start... type is Steamroller, man? I thought that was Steel type.
Steamroller should be ground, I think. Ground or rock? If it's not steel, it has to be one of those two.
I'm
Rollout is ground, so I'm like, maybe it's the same thing. I don't know.
I'm looking it up right now, because it's making me mad.
Yeah. But going into legendaries, post-game, we obviously have to capture Giratina. Giratina. Wrong generation. We have to capture Kyurem and Reshiram / Zekrom, because we didn't get a chance to capture that during the main story for some stupid reason.
Honestly, I don't know why they did that. Also, Steamroll is a bug type move. Could not
have done that. Ooh, that's a surprise. But yeah, we are them. I'm trying to think. There aren't any other Unova legendaries that we can capture, because we caught the Swords of Justice. We have Myself, Mesprit, and Uxie that we have to. There's a certain location we find them, and then they become roaming legendary. Not roaming. They roam around, but I think we find them in specific spots.
Yeah.
I'm not sure yet. But getting the Lake Guardians is exciting, because it's... They're small and so cute. After that, we have Latios and Latias. This I am going to spoil their location. No, I'm not going to spoil their location. I want to, because I'm right there. I'm trying to catch Latias. It's a location that we all know and love.
Goldenrod City?
No. Also, we should play Minecraft and finish our Goldenrod City.
Yo, we haven't even started.
No, we'll talk a bit about that right before we wrap things up. We have the Reggies. I don't know where to capture the Reggies just yet, but we have the Reggies that we have to capture. We can both catch Reggie Rock. I can catch so many R's. I can catch Reggie Ice while you catch Reggie Steel. And then by trading keys, we can catch our missing Reggie so that we can catch Reggie Gigas, which I'm super excited about because there's very few actual normal legendary Pokemon.
God, they massacred my boy though. With that ability slow start. Damn.
No,
They couldn't have messed him
I
up
need
more if
fire
they
blood.
tried.
Let's see. We have.
I don't want to take your happiness. I'm just saying, damn, bro. And
Look, the decks, but I mean, straight in the box, but I want them.
but yo, and when so I don't know if anybody watched listening to this played Pokemon Go, but yo, so there was that one time that we had to pay like $8 to get Regigigas early. I thought it was to get Regigigas at all, but no, it was just to get him early, right? And I paid $8 for that Pokemon, and he came out a two star. It was like the most two star Pokemon you've ever seen. It was like 10, 11 times.
Hey,
I was
if you
really
don't
mad
want
about it.
I will take them
You
if
can
you don't
take
want them.
him. You can have him.
Okay, so moving on. Heatran, you should know where to get Heatran.
That was in a map thing. Yeah.
Did you end up finding the magma cube for him or no?
I
There's
have
like
a magma riser, if that helps out.
there, yeah, there's like an bring there. We also have the lunar wing, which we used to get Cresselia. I'm gonna transfer my Darkrai over from white version to fight her and catch her. And I think that's it for all the legendary Pokemon. I still have to look for all of N's Pokemon. And to be honest, I didn't do a great job at catching Pokemon in this game as I did in white version. So, Mr. Shrimp, I am challenging you now because we have about 5 episodes to wrap things up. I want to see which one of us catches the most Pokemon in the black two, white two decks. Wrap
Oh, that is,
up the series.
God, that is going to be you by so much. I haven't been catching things at all. I'm actually
Me
murdering
neither.
so many things because I know I'm going to need a grind
So you've
in order
seen
to
what
get
my
something.
boxes look like in Pokemon White version, right?
You literally maxed out your boxes and had to go get more. That's what you did.
White two. I have one box and one, not counting my party, and not counting like a box that I have for evolution. I basically two boxes.
I have like I have I actually have like a flat too. They're
So you
spread
and
out because actually no, keep going. So say everything.
I are on. Each have two boxes.
Okay. Okay, so this doesn't that's not me forfeiting or like giving up before I even try. I'm just letting you know I am. That was not what I was thinking when I was playing 90% of this game.
Be honest, same. I was just like, I have to stay ahead of Mr. Shrimp's doing for recording.
Definitely.
Also, I
I
wanted
miss.
Quick Ball.
Quick balls are fantastic. I never. I did know how good they were, but man, how they're so good. God,
They
they're
are.
great.
So for me, the hardest part about catching things are going to be like the Pokemon that I can't get, that I cannot capture, and breeding. There's a lot of Pokemon that you have to breed to get the pre-evolution. We can catch Sandslash, but not Sandshrew. Breed. It's like to comp. We're gonna have to do a lot. And we have like, if everything's perfectly timed, we have 5 weeks. But knowing us, we probably have longer. We just have five. Can we do it?
Maybe. I think definitely in the next coming episodes, we gotta just wrap up all the Team Plasma business, and I think that's what most of this post game is gonna be about.
Oh, actually, I don't know what it's been about. Honestly, all I did was like capture the legendary dragons, get a second Master Ball, and unlock. I've avoided trainers. I've avoided talking to anyone who might trigger a big event.
Yeah, good idea, because you'd be here mashing for like forever, like what I'm doing.
I guess that wraps up today's episode, unless you want to talk real quick about our mic. Goldenrod City. And then, yeah.
So, with that, so we were planning on making a replica of Goldenrod City, because Karasu already found like the map for it. It just comes down to how much time we actually have to actually make it a reality. That's gonna be the part that's actually pretty hard, just because we already have the shell for Goldenrod City, which is fantastic, but actually filling it out, making sure that everything's like accurate, like the games and whatever, taking screenshots and stuff, that one's actually gonna be the part that's difficult.
Yeah, so once we do that, it'll be a lot of fun to play in, and maybe we can show off photos of our progress. But I think we're up today's episode. So, Mr. Shrimp, why don't you do my usual outro? Let's see how much of it you remember.
You don't change it that often, so it shouldn't be too bad. But basically, everyone stay connected to Team We Try. Stay disconnected from everyone in real life. Wear masks, stay 6 feet apart, all that stuff, or I'm going to put you 6 feet into the ground. Yeah! Smash that like button. Annihilate like that button. Follow button.
Oh, wait, we like do that on YouTube. We have that on YouTube.
Yeah, yes, exactly. See, I'm thinking, I'm 20 steps ahead. Yo,
go.
Like, click the little bell icon and ring it as if its life depends on it. And yeah. We thank you very much for listening, if indeed you still are. And we really appreciate you guys. So if you could, just make sure, you know, you give some feedback in the comments and let us know if we have any more projects. If any of our, like, more recent up-and-coming projects are ones that you're interested in. And we'll do our best. All right, Karasu. You got anything else you want to say?
No. You did amazing.
Yo, why does everybody know Thrash, man? Why did so many Pokemon in post-game know Thrash? It's so annoying. I don't know.
But don't forget, guys, stay connected.